Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. You have given to us the water of life. Let this water flow in our hearts and souls for your sake. Amen. I was involved in the hardest and most common chore of women around the world, going to fetch water. Of course, most of the people in my village, most of the women, went to fetch water in the cool of the morning before the midday sun blazed down. But I was more furtive, more surreptitious. I didn't want to join that mob of gossiping women going to the well in the morning, because I knew that partly they would be gossiping about me. I know what people think. I know what they say about me behind my back, and it shames me. Yes, I have a parched and arid heart. And so I went to the well at midday when no one else would be there. But to my surprise, there was a man at the well. He was sitting on the capstone, the round stone that keeps sand and children from falling into the well. I waited for him to do the right thing and move away so that I could approach. Because in my culture, women and men do not talk to each other in public. Not even husbands talk to their wives in public places. But he didn't move. And I needed water. So I went to the well. And to my utter shock, because I realized that this man was a Jew here in our territory, here in Samaria, he actually spoke to me. He, a Jewish man, speaking to me, a Samaritan woman. Did he not know the historical enmity between our people? Only 100 years before, the Jews had come to destroy the Samaritan temple on Mount Gerizim. Only 30 years before, the Samaritans had responded by scattering the bones of dead people in the temple in Jerusalem and defiling it before Passover. Didn't he know that we were unclean? And he asked me to give him a drink. Doesn't he know that my hands defile the vessel that I would use to draw the water? Later, I understood the gift that he gave me as he asked for a drink of water. He made himself vulnerable and dependent. Despite who he was, he so served us as humans that he came to us and asked to be served. He came to our level. And after that was the strangest and most transformative encounter of my entire life. And it's my joy to tell people about it. He said to me, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Living water? Flowing water? Where was he going to get this living water? The only water source for miles around was this well. He didn't even have a jar or a bucket. So I said, "You've got nothing to draw water with. How are you going to give me living water? You going to do some kind of miracle? Are you better than our ancestor Jacob who made this well for us?" I was confused. I didn't know that he was speaking on a spiritual level, and I was still thinking about my own thirst and physical things. He said to me, "Everyone who drinks this water from the well will get thirsty again." Well, of course, we all have to come here every day to get water from the well. "But whoever drinks the water that I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give will become a spring of water welling up inside them to eternal life." Well, that sounded pretty good. He could give me water that would make me never thirsty again. I wouldn't have to come to the well. I wouldn't have to spend hours a day doing this drudgery. That would be fantastic. I had no idea at the time that he was talking not just to quench my physical thirst, but that he would make me overflow for the sake of others. I didn't know that he was wanting to make me a spring that would flow with living water so that others too could have life. So I said, "Give me some of this water." Sounds fantastic. Then I wouldn't have to come back here to the well every day and keep filling up my bucket. And then he said something that really scared me. "Go, call your husband and come back." I had to evade him. I didn't want to go there to that most painful part of my life, the life which has caused so much brokenness, so much dryness in my heart, relationships with men. For many years, I've tried to quell the thirst inside by finding love from different men. And that's why they talk about me behind my back in the village. Sinner, immoral woman. So I told him a little white lie. "I don't have a husband," I said. I could see that he was a prophet, and I could see that he was going to judge my sin just as everyone else did, and condemn me not only in the eyes of people but in the eyes of God. And I was right. He is a prophet. "You are right when you say you have no husband," he replied. "The fact is, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." He is a prophet. He has seen my sin. But for some reason, despite my shame and the pain of my past, he wanted to make me worthwhile. Little did I realize that as I talked to him, living water was beginning to flow in the arid places in my life. The Holy Spirit was moving. But again, I tried to evade the question, tried to hide the sin, and tried to get him involved in a theological discussion. "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet," I said, hoping that flattery would put him off. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Should we worship God on Mount Gerizim, or should we worship in Herod's temple in Jerusalem?" His answer was absolutely stunning. "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you'll worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." "But isn't that where we go to find the presence of God? Don't we have to go to a holy place, to a temple, to worship? Isn't that where God is present in his grace and forgiveness?" Well, as he taught us later, I learned, and I heard it from his disciples as well, that he called himself the new temple, the very place where God meets with us in his grace. He claimed that he held the presence of God in his own body. And that but only those who worship in him can worship in spirit and in truth. Well, the living water of the Holy Spirit was beginning to flow in my heart, and I had stirrings of hope. No one had ever talked to me like this before. It seemed that even though he knew my sin, he didn't judge me. He wanted to be gracious with me. So I said, I know that the Messiah, God's anointed one, is coming. He will teach us all things. Well, if what he said before made me gasp with surprise, the next thing he said was even more surprising. He said, the one speaking to you, I am. Yes, he meant, I am the water for the thirsty. Yes, he meant, I am the Messiah, the anointed one of God. But even more than that, I am, that's the sacred name that God gave to Moses himself at the burning bush. Go to the people and tell them that I am has sent you. He told me that he is God himself. God in the flesh, come to our village. And he said this to me, this precious, world-shattering knowledge. To me, a sinful, shameful, broken Samaritan woman. He entrusted me with the greatest mystery of all time. As if indeed he could transform my brokenness, forgive my sin, wipe away my shame, and use me for his purposes, even me. Well, at that point, his disciples came back. But my once arid heart was overflowing. His grace took my shame and fear and gave me courage. His living water overflowed my soul with joy, and I knew that I had to share the news. So I dropped my water jar, physical thirst forgotten, and hurried back to town, met people's eyes, proclaimed the word. Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Of course, at that, they sniggered at first behind their hands, and I could see the thoughts in their eyes. We know everything you ever did. But my past had no more power over me. My shame had been dealt with in this encounter with the I Am, the Messiah. Come, come and see for yourself, I said. Could this man possibly be the Christ? And their sneering turned to surprise and curiosity because something was different about me, profoundly different. A shamed woman with a dry, cracked heart had gone out furtively to the well. An unashamed woman with heart overflowing with the water of life had returned. And so they came and saw the man and heard the prophet and came to trust in the Savior of the world. As he himself talked and ate with us over the next 2 days, Jesus, the Messiah, transformed my life. He came to me as a real human being in need. He broke the social taboos which kept races and genders apart. Comes to you as a real human being. He spoke as a prophet and exposed the sin in my heart. He will do the same with you, and it will be painful. And yet, the cure. Oh, the joy of the cure as he shows that the grace and forgiveness of God is present to you in his own body. He spoke to me as a priest and reconciled me to God. He showed himself to be the Christ and healed my shame, transformed my past, and gave me a future of unashamed joy and hope. And despite my sin, he showed himself to me as the I Am, the God who is with us. And I assure you that if he forgave me and called me to share the water of life, then he can do the same for you, no matter what you have done, No matter how guilty your soul, how dry your heart, how shameful your past, He can forgive your sin, heal your heart, and give you hope and a future unashamed. For He gives living water to your thirsty soul. We know and believe that He is the Savior of the world. And I tell my story so that you will know and believe and have life in His name. A spring of water welling up to eternal life.